Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Dr. Larry Pinson kicks off our series on the opioid crisis in Nevada. He's the executive secretary of the State Board of Pharmacy. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Scott Peterson. We're spurring on the Western legacy. June 16th through the 25th. For tickets, call 800-325-SEAT or visit RenoRodeo.com. Come join us at the Reno Rodeo.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we start a series on opioid abuse on Nevada Newsmakers. It'll run over the next few shows, sponsored by the Retail Association of Nevada. This is obviously of great national concern with the amount of deaths that are occurring and just the problems that people are running into in terms of addiction. We're joined to kick this off by Dr. Larry Pinson. He's Executive Secretary of the State Board of Pharmacy, a man with great experience in the field. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You've been going around the country talking about this. Tell us what you're talking about and tell us what you're learning.
Well, it's a huge, huge topic, not only in our state, but nationwide, as you can tell by our president throwing something like $1.1 billion at drug abuse this year. And I generally begin with one kind of a quick set of stats. Statistics, you know, are boring sometimes, and they can be skewed. But there's one set of statistics that's very simple that are just truly remarkable. And if you just listen to these numbers, you'll understand what I mean. And that is that our country comprises approximately 5% of the 5-6% of the world's population. That's all we are. Yet we consume 60% of all of the manufactured drugs in the world.
And this is legal drugs.
Legal drugs. 60% of all the manufactured drugs in the world. We consume 80% of all the manufactured opiates in the world. You got to think about that. 80% of all the manufactured opiates in the entire world, our country consumes, and we're only 5-6% of the population. The number one abused drug in the world is hydrocodone, a brand name Lortab and Vicodin. Even more remarkable, our country consumes 99 out of every 100 tablets of hydrocodone that's produced in the entire world.
Well, that's crazy.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Is it because in our system, the way it's set up, doctors are geared towards pain relief at all costs, that somebody comes in and they're suffering, they get taken care of. And I'm not even talking about abuse here. I'm just talking about somebody comes in, they have pain. Do the doctors feel obligated to take care of this pain? Or is this something that, you know, there's nobody that watches television, especially if you're an older generation, if you're watching the evening news, you are completely saturated with, you know, ask your doctor about this drug, ask your doctor about that drug. Is this part of the problem?
It's all of those things, and I think one of the worst things that we've ever allowed in this country is direct-to-consumer consumer advertising of drugs, just what you're speaking about. I mean, how many commercials for Cialis do we need to see? It's to the point now that, I mean, we have so many people on opiates that the drug companies are now advertising OIC drugs, opiate-induced constipation drugs.
I mean, what does that mean?
That's crazy. Well, one of the side effects of opiates is constipation. We have so many people taking opiates now that the drug companies are now going directly to the consumer to buy these drugs to take care of their constipation. You know, I think doctors are under a certain amount of pressure. I mean, now a patient watches TV, they figure out that something's wrong with them. They go to the doctor and tell them what they want because they saw it on TV. It puts a doctor in a tough spot. But bigger than all of that is that basically it's a cultural problem, in my opinion. We live in the most drug-oriented society ever in history. And it goes back to, historically, I think, to the Civil War, which is when our country was first really introduced to any drugs at all. And the first one was morphine. We had lots of very young men who were injured. It was a horrible war, lots of pain. And we had this drug called morphine. It's not absorbed orally, which most people probably know. They didn't have any way to get it in, but about that time, the hypodermic syringe was invented. So bingo, all of a sudden we have all these young guys in pain. We've got this drug, and we got a way to get it in them. And we ended up with a whole generation of addicted, very young men in our country. And it seems like it just kind of leapfrogged from there. Every decade or two, it's a different drug. A good example is like the 50s. It's post-World War II. The United States is a perfect place to live. This is Leave It to Beaver time. Dad goes to work with his tie on. Mom stays home, raises the kids. Everybody lives in their three-bedroom, two-bath house. And because many of the women at that time, after they'd raised the kids and were through running around so much, they're starting to get a little fat. Well, what do our drug companies do? Well, SKF comes out with a drug called Dexedrine. We can fix that. You don't need to be fat. Take this drug. So people start taking it, these women. Well, Dexedrine is methamphetamine. It takes like 3 or 4 days to start getting addicted to amphetamine. We end up then with a generation of very young housewives, 20s, 30s, 40s, addicted to amphetamine, okay? Skip another couple of decades, which is when I was in school. I trained at the University of California in San Francisco. We had a clinic at the Haight, so I'm right there in the 70s with all of the flower children, what have you. When our society then, those kids would take anything, and that's when LSD was introduced. I remember that day. It was in the Panhandle at Golden Gate Park where all the drug deals went down in San Francisco. The LSD was being worked on at Cutter Labs, which is across the bay on the Berkeley side. And they went to the Panhandle and said, okay, Saturday we're bringing this new drug over. It's really, really cool stuff, you know. So they brought it over, hit the kingpins. They literally filled every emergency room bed in San Francisco in one afternoon because they had no concept of dose, and the kids at that time would take anything. And it just goes from there.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about the effects, in addition of the Vietnam War, on this. We'll be right back with Dr. Pinson after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction. 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Larry Pinson. He's the Executive Secretary of the State Board of Pharmacy. We're kind of going through a history of essentially drug abuse in this country. The Vietnam War had to have played quite a role in this as well.
It did. That again is all part of the 70s. We had many people my generation that had to go to that horrible war. It was difficult for people to comprehend. You know, why are they there and what's going on? And so many come back and again, because we live in this drug-oriented society, it's kind of like our country, everybody in our country feels that there's a drug for everything, and basically you deal with life through drugs is what it amounted to. And again, there were many people that were in pain as well. So we leap forward to the 90s, and I'll back up to the 70s real quick. The president at that time was Nixon, and he's inherited now this whole society of very young people who are taking everything, and he's trying to figure out what to do about it. And again, it seems like every president's got some sort of a program to try to combat prescription drug abuse, and his was to create the DEA. You know, most people think the DEA has been around a long time, but it was a direct result of all the drug use in the 70s. Nixon trying to figure out how do we get a handle on our society with all of these people taking all of these drugs, and you know, it was just a difficult time.
And in addition, it wasn't just prescription drugs, it was also illegal drugs.
Exactly. So we skip forward to the 90s, and that's kind of when, again, the drug companies, their job is to sell drugs. They had developed long-acting opiates, and so they marketed them as they did with the dextrine and all drugs previous. And they basically convinced our medical community that long-acting opiates should be used for pain and that they're non-addictive. Okay, that's the way they advertised. They did, I don't know, 27,000 continuing education courses on opiates, long-acting opiates, and how safe they are.
And was that a form of bait and switch as the tobacco companies had performed?
Not sure. Could be. I just don't know about that much about the tobacco.
Well, I just mean in the sense that the tobacco companies knew
ahead of time, sure.
That smoking was going to cause health problems.
Exactly.
And denied it to Congress even. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm just posing the question, did the pharmaceutical industry know that this long-term use of opioids could be a long-term problem?
The answer to that is very simple. It was in 2007, the major manufacturer of most of the long-acting opiates was levied in a civil fine, the second largest civil fine ever levied in this country, $693 million, I think, basically for lying to the medical community by saying that these drugs are not not addictive. But, you know, the medical community then buys into it. Hey, that's the other part. And they were convinced that pain all of a sudden becomes this sixth sense. And again, I go back to us taking all of these drugs, yet you've got, you know, 95% of the world dealing with pain without all of these drugs. I mean, there's got to be pain in China and India and everywhere else. So how do they do that?
Right, you know? Well, and that's my question to you is, do we know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. They certainly don't use opiates. You know, there are different ways to deal with it, as in our country. I mean, you know, physical therapy, yoga, acupuncture, you know, on and on.
So really, it's a lifestyle difference, and it's a different way of looking at medicine, because, you know, a lot of people are prepared to knock the Canadian and British medical systems, but one of the things they do is they back off. Not everybody gets everything that they want.
Exactly.
And that's part of the reason why the costs are lower.
Exactly. Plus, you know, in those countries, they have the ability of buying in bulk. I mean, if you're buying for an entire country, you know, one class of drugs, you're going to get a lot better deal.
And are you able to negotiate in those countries?
Absolutely. Sure they do.
Unlike here, right.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's take a break, and there's some specific questions I want to come to. And thank you so much. A great history there. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Big rooftop solar companies say they just want us to have a choice.
They're just not being honest.
What they really want is a subsidy.
Subsidies that go up and up and up.
The subsidies that we'd be forced to pay could go up as much as 10 times what they are right now.
10 times? I can't afford that.
Big rooftop solar companies have gotten millions. Now they're asking for hundreds of millions more.
That's crazy.
This isn't about a choice. It's about money.
What solar companies are telling people isn't right. Find out the truth at solarenergyfairness.com.
I first came to Greenhouse Garden Center 40 years ago. Some of these trees weren't much more than twigs then. Growing things is something that never grows old. And you can tell at a glance that these are people who love to grow, who are still enchanted by rich soil and the magic of gardening. This may be one of the most wondrous places around, and they grow many things. But mostly, I think they grow relationships.
Greenhouse Garden Center and Gift Shop in Carson City. Growing things is in our nature.
Welding is one of those great things. You can use electricity and metal and form it into large, awesome things, either buildings or artwork. There's a whole lot of opportunity for welders in the current region. I would recommend CSIN and other people, and I actually have several times because they helped with everything from start to finish, even putting me in a job after I graduated.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Larry Pinson. He's the Executive Secretary of the Nevada State Board of Pharmacy. Let's talk about the prescription monitoring program that your board oversees. Tell me about that.
Okay, the prescription monitoring program was created by our legislature in 1996, 97, somewhere in that range. And we have the longest running, maybe the second longest running electronic prescription monitoring program in the nation. So because of that, we've been somewhat of a leader.
And what does that exactly do?
Okay, what it does is it was designed by the legislature to identify doctor shoppers. Okay, doctor shopping, just so everyone knows, in Nevada is a felony. And doctor shopping means that what you're doing is going from doctor to doctor, attempting to get prescriptions for controlled substances for your own use or to sell. Okay, and that again is a felony in Nevada. So the legislature created the prescription monitoring program, and basically what it does is every prescription that's filled for a controlled substance in the state of Nevada runs through a set of computers that's basically housed with the Board of Pharmacy. It's not just the Board of Pharmacy, it's a separate entity. And that information includes the drug, the quantity, who got it, who prescribed it, the date it was filled, et cetera. So we know all of that. So now we have all of this data, and you think, well, what do we do with it? What we do is we've set up some thresholds, if you will. And the thresholds change. I don't even know what they are today, because we have to move them around. But let's just say, for sake of discussion, that if you see seven physicians and you go to five different pharmacies in a seven-day period, that would be a bit of a red flag. So now we've identified somebody that's kind of off the radar. They're seeing more doctors than they probably should, and they're going to more pharmacies. What do you do with it? Well, we send what's called an unsolicited report to each one of those professionals. So each doctor that saw that patient and each pharmacy that filled a prescription gets this report that says, hey, doc, did you realize that your patient saw seven other doctors this week before they came in to see you? This data is available to physicians in their office right when the patient's in the room. And what a godsend to like an emergency room doctor. I mean, you're an emergency room doctor, you got somebody who's coming in, they say, you know, I need pain pills because I have a headache. Well, how are you going to diagnose a headache? Or my back hurts, how are you going to diagnose that? You do the best you can, but now they can just excuse themselves, go to the computer, look this patient up. Bingo, this guy's been to seven other doctors before me, and he's still sitting in your room, okay? We don't tell the practitioners what to do. We just let them know. That's all we do, and let them decide what they're going to do. The intent of the prescription monitoring program and the intent of the legislature at the time was to get these people help, get them into treatment. We don't need these people in jail. We absolutely do not. We need to get them fixed. So, you know, you're my patient, I'm the doc, I just found out you've been to seven other doctors. Sam, what's going on here? You know, and then hopefully that practitioner will help the patient get into some sort of treatment. Unfortunately, many physicians get angry. I mean, they feel like they've been had, you know, and they then fire the patient. They say, I don't want to see you anymore. That's it. You're out of here. Well, what happens to that patient? Well, they go to somebody else, you know, and that's somebody else's problem.
Would you like to see any teeth put into this program?
You know, that's a really fine line. People have very strong feelings about a government agency looking into their medical records. I mean, is that okay? Who should be making those decisions about what's too much drug or what the thresholds should be? You have to remember the prescription monitoring program doesn't have medical records. You know, we don't know what this patient that went to all of those doctors, what's wrong with them. Maybe those doctors are all appropriate. Maybe these huge doses are appropriate. We don't even know the specialty of the doctor, that sort of thing. So that's a real fine line. Then who is going to make the decision about what's too much and too little? Is it you know, six tablets of whatever it is a day, or 10, or 100. You know, do you want some government agency making that decision rather than your physician? So it's a difficult difficult situation. We do share this information with law enforcement if they have an open case on something. So if they come to us and say we're investigating such and such, and it's an open case, then we'll show that information. You also have to realize that this is data that people love to get their hands on. You know, wouldn't it be interesting to know what some politician is taking, what drugs? When Michael Jackson went down, you know, his drugs came out of Las Vegas. Everybody's trying to hit the PMP to see, you know, what Michael Jackson was taking. Those sorts of things. So you have to be real protective of that. Child custody cases, divorce cases, so on.
Okay, but looking at the crisis that is currently going on, and And I think one of the bigger reasons why this is getting so much publicity is this is not just a poor people's problem. This has moved into the middle class. It's moved into the upper class. And people are not really aware of the dangers of taking this medicine. So, you know, we've got about a minute here. Where do you think we should be heading? And is this something that should be heading into the legislature?
It's got to take a cultural change, which has to come through education. I think we not only have to educate the practitioners, but we have to educate the general public, which is what we're attempting to do today. You're absolutely right. People think that if they get a prescription from somebody who's got a white coat on, it's safe. I can take it. There's no danger, and there's nothing further from the truth. It's a bothersome problem for everyone from the governor on down. The governor has taken some steps to fight prescription drug abuse through a policy academy. The attorney general as well has resurrected a working group on substance abuse, of which I'm part. And the legislature will look at it again, I'm sure, too.
So. We would appreciate you coming back and keeping us updated on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Fascinating discussion.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
The real estate market is on fire. If you want top dollar for your home, it's a great time to sell. With Marshall Realty's 90-day guarantee, you'll feel confident in selling your home right now. Call today to find out how you can take advantage of this hot market.
I'm flush with 200 channels in free HD. Free prime time on demand lets me binge incessantly. And I like to take my entertainment everywhere I go. Into the bedroom, to the backyard, to the kitchen floor. Living the connected life is Spectrum Triple Play. Gets life without limits, y'all, every day. I got the internet, voice, TV. For $29.99 a month, you'll see. Just call 1-844-644-2999. At 60 megs, I got all the web I can handle. I write a blog about scented candles. No data cache for my devices at the max speed. Now my cat is blowing up my social feed. Living the connected life is Spectrum Triple Play. You know they got me covered in every way. I got the internet, voice, and TV. For $29.99 a month, you'll see. Just call 1-844-644-2999. Yeah, I don't like to talk a little. I like to talk a lot. Unlimited calling to everyone around the clock. Living the connected life is Spectrum Triple Play. No hidden fees, no contracts. Call today. 1-844-644-2999.
Tickets are on sale now. Call 775-348-PACK.
Do you want guaranteed results when selling your home? If you do, then you need an agent that will put his own money on the line. Marshall Realty does exactly that with their 90-day guarantee program. Call 787-7400 today to get your home sold guaranteed.
On our next broadcast, Dr. Rika Danko and Dr. Brett Fry with more on the opioid crisis in Nevada. We'll see you then.